So what do you guys want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about? I mean, let's just catch up on on life, on things happening. Oh, boy. What a game. United States are out of the World Cup.
Yeah.
To Belgium, 4-1. I'm just looking at the score. Every goal, just my big old big ass hat don't fit in this little box anymore. Every goal, just four reminders of just mistakes and poor, just fear, nervousness.
What stat is going to show you that the U.S. were ill prepared?
57% possession. We did it, folks. We won the possession battle.
This was embarrassing. There's no other word for it. This was a capitulation by the U.S. men's national team. This was 11 players that were not on the same page. This was a coach that was bewildered at the decisions that were being made on the pitch. This was a team that completely outclassed us from beginning to end in Belgium without their best players on the goddamn pitch. I was about to swear, and I caught myself because I know there's people watching on Yahoo Sports and other ones. And I mean, I thought I was on the screen. This was horrific. This was embarrassing is the only word. There's an entire nation of people that were inspired by the run of the U.S.
And it's not inspiring anymore?
No. There was an entire group of people that for the first time in their lives felt like they were committed to this sport. Mm. And that's what they saw? They walk away thinking that's who we are.
Okay. Fair. I want to get, there's a lot of points I want to make. I want to first say hello. Welcome to, if you're watching on Yahoo Sports Network, you're watching on the Cooligans YouTube. We're going to get, please leave your comments in the chat. We're going to pull up some of our favorite ones and react to them.
Yeah, y'all be funny because I ain't feeling it right now.
All right. You know what? I'll do it then. I'll be the funny one today. This is, I feel like capitulation is a strong word to sort of suggest a...
In what way?
A strong word to suggest a lack of... maybe preparation is not the exact word I want to use. But it's a harsher word than I would use. But I would say fearful. The U.S. men's national team were afraid. You could see it in every touch, the mistakes, the discombobulated okay, look who just hopped
from the
on.
Golf course.
From the golf. Where is he? All right, we'll get that in a second. But Taylor Twelman will be joining us in just a second. Okay, we got Taylor.
And we got him back.
All right, Taylor Twelman.
Taylor, was the word capitulation too much? How do you? What's your immediate reaction? Because I'm really frustrated.
12 years ago, I was in the building in Brazil. I saw Tim Howard make 16 saves. I saw Clint Dempsey, Wondolowski have chances to win that game. And right now, I've been asked multiple different ways, are we better than we were 12 years ago? Because that Belgium team was a lot better than the Belgian team that I saw today. And that team was good today. But we need to make this abundantly clear. That was the first real test of the World Cup.
Yeah.
What'd we get?
Yeah. I mean,
what'd we get? And listen, we've done stuff, right? We did stuff. You can't make mistakes at the highest level. You can't miss fundamentals. The first two goals from Belgium, they make you want to, it's not an easy watch, guys.
Yeah.
That's not an easy watch. That's a 50-50 ball inside the 18 that Dest just looks around, lets it bounce, run through it. And listen, everyone on social media talks about, oh, Sebastian Berhalter this. Give me 10 Sebastian Berhalters. He'll run through the wall at least. You cannot forget fundamentals, the little things. That is going to be, for that group of players, the most difficult pill to swallow. Because when you watch the tape, it's not my experience. I watched it. That's a difficult one to swallow. Those are simple fundamentals, and we missed all of them tonight. All of them.
Yeah. That was, I mean, from everyone, from Dest watching the ball bounce in front of him to Alex Freeman looking lost to the reaction of Tyler Adams after, you know, Freeman can't control the diagonal to Matt Freeze just absolutely getting brain freeze in the moment with the ball and just letting one of the most embarrassing goals I've ever seen go in. Paul Carr tweeted this.
But Alexis, what, Tim Ream just stopped the ball.
Yeah, I don't just understand what the hell is going on. By the way, speaking of Tim Ream, they picked on Tim Ream. Tim Ream is 39 years old. He looked like a 5-year-old out there getting picked on by his older brothers. I've never seen someone be posterized
sorry to interrupt you, Alexis, but listen, this is stuff I was talking about this 8 months ago. You know, when you were relying on a 39?
Yeah, I think
38 or 39, yeah. 38. So my point is, like, listen, in this, we're not talking about, we didn't lose the game because of Tim Ream, but I'm struggling right now that you have all the momentum in the world. All of it. And I am stunned at how flat they came out.
Yeah.
I mean,
including Pulisic, which we have to talk about. Yes, he came off injured. He was dispossessed 11 times in the first half, Taylor.
Yeah.
Yes, but there's nuance to that, okay? And I'm not, I just, they used to criticize players like Michael Bradley. Pirlo would be criticized for, well, he lost possession. Yeah, but Pirlo tried to play the ball 35 yards forward every single, you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so those 11 missed possessions, right? Lost possessions. I would like to see all 11, because if five of them are trying to play through balls to Balogun, well, at least he's trying to do something.
If I show
right?
you that tape, you think you'll be smiling at the end of it?
No, but I don't think I'd be as harsh as what I'm seeing on social media regarding him. Now, I want to know what that injury is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah.
And if it's a rehashing of the calf, then for sure. Because even our producer was saying he didn't look full strength in his stride prior to being kicked or kicking the other player in the back of the leg.
Yeah, he kicked Tielemans got in front of him, and he kicked that at Tielemans ankle. It looked like his leg got, you know, when you rattle your foot when you both kick a ball or something like that. But I can't even specifically pick on Pulisic. Everyone was bad. I can't make sense.
There's a few players that could hold their head high.
Tillman
is one of them.
Are Belgium such a great defensive team that we all of a sudden can't connect passes? Freeman can't make passes. Ream was trying, but Pulisic, Jedi Robinson, so many mistakes, and it made no sense. And look, to me, what I was saying, Taylor, right before you hopped on, they just seemed scared. They seemed nervous, and we can get into, you know, we've been talking about what the role politics plays into this or whatever. To me, this is clearly has some sort of impact. How could it not?
When the whistle blows, it's what's happening on the pitch.
Think,
I'm not going to.
You're not thinking about that?
Yeah, I think that's that goes out of your mind.
But I'm not saying it as an excuse. I'm just saying that's a reality.
I don't see that after the whistle blows.
No, I don't see it at all. I honestly believe if you want to ask me about the emotion of them putting the cart before the horse, reading the headlines, sure, I can get into that.
Mm-hmm.
I could get into that. But they did not lose the game today because of Trump getting involved. I'm telling you that right now. They would have lost that game today anyways because of what you said. You're actually arguing against your own point. Christian, You hit the nail on the head. The moment was too big.
Yeah.
The moment was too big. It has nothing to do with Trump.
And maybe that's
if Balogun was on the field or not, they would have all played the same way. I'm telling you, it was as if what's really remarkable to me is, I want to go back, sorry, Alexis, to what Christian said, because it's literally before I joined the show, it was my final thought that I put out on Twitter. 12 years ago, everyone and their mother said, in order to compete with the top 8 to 10 teams in the world, we've got to be better with the ball. And we could talk about defending, and we could talk about the mistakes and all of that. But have we gotten better with the ball?
Not against those teams.
I mean, we are we are better with the bubble. We're not better to the point where we go up against one of these.
Yes, but this is where my rebuttal is. This is where my rebuttal is. The old way, okay, when I played, we might not have been better with the ball, but we got the same results against the lesser opponent anyways. But when you go up against a better opponent, like they were in 14, where your goalkeeper makes 16 saves and you have a chance to win the game, give me that over what I just watched for 90 minutes.
And you know what? What I was going to say, and I don't mind that you cut me off, that you're a guest on the show, so feel free to, is piggybacking off what you're saying. And I think the reason why I feel so frustrated right now and why I feel so deflated is because somewhere along this run, I started to believe that we had turned that corner. That we were no longer playing with just heart and soul and athleticism, that we were amongst those same clubs, those same nations that everyone speaks about in the Belgiums and the Frances and in England, not nearly at that level, but we were on the same shelf in the library. And that last 90 minutes was an absolute slap in the face and cold reality hit. We are not near there. We may be one step further from where we were in 2014, the last time we faced them, but in no way, shape, or form have we turned that corner yet.
Yeah. I mean,
no, it's tough pill to swallow, guys. It's tough.
I mean, they were all terrible. I mean, poor goals to give away. That fourth one is just
the
like
the game was gone.
I mean, the game was gone, but still, I'm like, Jesus, that it's really frustrating.
Yeah, but Christian, can I add to that real quick though? Because I've been here, where you show up on the game and you're like, I don't have my shit today. Sorry, I don't have stuff today.
Yeah,
I don't have it. I just don't have my A game. I got to figure this out. I got to get in there. You go in at halftime. Tactically, I asked the question at halftime. Pochettino got it right. You had to change something because Adams, Tillman, and McKinney could not play through the midfield. And it was the right move. Get Dest off the field. That type of game, he's not capable of defending. It's not in his DNA. He doesn't want to, and he is incapable. We saw it on both goals. So it's 2-1 the first 6-7 minutes. There's an energy to it. The third goal is the one for me. That will literally, if you lose that game, guys, 2-1, pepper in the goal, the way Mexico and England ended last night, it's a different pill to swallow than the one we're swallowing right now.
Yeah.
It just is. The third goal is absolutely at the highest level inexcusable at a World Cup. You cannot do that. So yeah. You cannot.
Then let me ask you, you said that he made the right decisions after the half, and I do agree they're going to a back four. Change the game. We started to build momentum. We started playing there half of the first time in a while in that match. Is Mauricio Pochettino the right guy to lead this team into the next cycle in 2030? Do you think he's the guy that makes us turn that corner that I thought we had already turned?
Yeah, I've always been in this camp, guys, and you're going to hear me repeat it. So I'm not, and you know me, you two know me well enough. I never sit on the fence. I'll give you an answer. I don't think the manager matters. I know that sounds really weird right now. Okay? But what I'm telling you right now is this is a universal, can the American player improve? Can he get better? How do you do that? Where do you go? That manager, the United States men's national team, first team, he doesn't have the players enough to change that. He's not a club coach. He's not with them every day. And so I'm going to answer your question, but Alexis, that's where I am. This is what I'm talking about is on a macro level. Like, it's just that's what I can't understand today. Pochettino, in my opinion, he got the internal competition within the group spot on. Spot on. It was brilliant. I don't think he had enough time. I didn't agree with it and still don't agree with the roster he picked, but I don't know if he had enough time to fully know who his best back four would be and who it should be. So to answer your question, if you want to give him another 2 years and see what that looks like and all of that, sure, absolutely. I don't know if emotionally he's into this type of job. Knowing, having spoken with him and hung out with him, he seems like a guy that really likes the daily grind and he really enjoys that. So internally, he's going to have to answer that question. Now, if Pochettino's the manager, Alexis, I'm still going to tell you the same thing. The American player's got to get better. He's got to get better.
And then
at all levels.
Yeah. So what is that? I know you probably have a question you want to ask. I'm sorry.
No. I'm fine. I mean,
I'm just frustrated with the idea of like the American player. Then what does that mean? Do we need someone to do an internal audit of the level of development we have here? And I've always found that the nexus between a good comedian, is can you write? Can you write your way through a bad patch? What I'm starting to understand is the nexus between taking this massive country with like incredible athleticism. Is how do you turn them into footballers? And to me, that maybe the nexus isn't just throwing every kid into Europe. Maybe that nexus is the right coaching in the academies here in the U.S. and developing. Yes. Like I hear Arsene Wenger talk. You know, if the child does not know this by the age of 14, they are lost and they will never be. And I hear that, and I'm like, that's so frustrating because most Americans think like, oh, if a kid put down a basketball, picked up a soccer ball at 15, they'd be the greatest.
Yep.
We have great. And what I'm realizing is it's the coaching. Can we, maybe it's not the coach of the U.S. men's national team, it's a coach when the kid is 10, it's a coach when the kid is 12, it's a coach when the kid is 14, yep. But how do we change that?
Alexis, I'll answer that. So numerous amount of Scots, and by the way, I'm giving you people just reach out to me as a resource, so I'm not sitting here telling you guys something to toot my own horn or anything, but I get a lot of texts from Scouts around the world. Because I'm watching these games.
By the way,
a lot
of Scouts, two comedians. That's not bad. We're on the list. We're on the list.
But, exactly. But why do I say everyone universally tells me that from to the age of 17, the United States is doing it really well.
Yeah.
17 to 21, we're not doing it. And MLS is trying to. And now they're going to watch this game. And if you're not motivated, then you're in the wrong business. And I think a lot, based on what my phone was ringing, this has to motivate you. If you're a coach, if you're anywhere in this atmosphere, in this ecosystem, we've got to get the 17 to 21-year-old player higher level training, quicker training, more competitive games to give him a better opportunity to be this generation in the second World Cup. Do I think the players are better than when I played? Alexis Christian, that's not even debatable. They absolutely are. But you also can't lose the dog, the fundamentals, the understanding that you're still chomping at the bit to be Belgium, to be better than them. And if that scares you, then you're going to lose 4-1. You just are. But Alexis, it's not like it's a blow-up thing. It's a fine-tune it to make sure this is expedited for 2030 and 2034. Because the generational players coming up, Alex Freeman 2 years ago, nobody would have had him starting in the World Cup. There's a lot of Alex Freemans here. We got to get going with them. Let's go.
Yeah. I'll be frank. I mean, I do feel...
Okay, I'll be Bob.
I do feel...
I'm turning it around. I was really upset at the beginning of this episode.
I mean, for whatever reason, and I'll parse all my feelings and thoughts afterward, but this doesn't... For me, this doesn't hurt as much as 22. It doesn't hurt as
this
much
hurts
as,
so much
as 2014. For me,
front of our own nation.
I think the performances in the group stage and in the round of 32, I saw a significant amount of improvement. I saw teams, bunker down, play behind the ball, worried about what the U.S. was going to do offensively. And it leaves me in a slightly optimistic place about where we are in quality.
God bless you, Christian. God, sure. Yeah, you called me at the wrong time.
So we're better than Bosnia.
Sure.
Do we get a parade for that?
I'm not asking for one. I'm just saying it's not. Right now, I'm like... The performances and just what I saw throughout this tournament was I saw an improvement. It, you know, we got wins versus draws. We didn't sneak through the group stages. There was some there was confidence. We hit a wall clearly against Belgium, and it's frustrating, yes, but I don't want to take away from those performances.
2002 up against Figo in Portugal, we were up 3-0. Like we I'm just saying we've had performances like this. Mm-hmm. And this one hurts way worse than the Dutch game.
Yeah.
Exponentially. 14? 14?
This game was over in the 70th minute.
Wait, say that again?
This game was over in the 70th minute. Yeah. We weren't even gutting it, other than Berhalter, really, and to your point of having 10 other Berhalters on the pitch, he was the only one. And he was screaming, come on, like, why is everyone so listless out here? Right.
Yes. I mean, like, that was the annoying part. And you saw it within seconds as soon as the whistle blew. I'm like, yo, Belgium is, like, coming right at us. Yeah, why are we, like, nervous?
Guys, my 9-year-old daughter asked me in the 18th minute, Dad, why aren't they playing aggressive?
Look at
that's
that.
A great, honestly, she saw it, and she's watched every game with me, and she was also like, but that captivates.
Coach the kids from 17 to 21.
I'm glad you just interrupted me on that, because honestly, it's just, this is difficult. This is hard. All of us in this love it. We rooted for those guys. And if I saw those players in the road right now, I'd give them a hug and a handshake and be like, man, but I've been there. Yeah. That's a tough one. That's a pill you don't sweat. That's a pill, I'm telling you, you don't put your head down at night and not forget about it.
I know we have to let you go, and I want to say goodbye to Taylor, but I do want to ask, you've been in this position before. How do players like an Alex Freeman who's just starting, or, you know, a Jedi or you know, a Pulisic who wanted to be that leader and wanted to be that man and didn't get a chance to when the moment was brightest, when the light was brightest on him, how do you turn what happened here into a positive? What do you do?
You make sure you file it, you absorb it, you process it, you file it away, and it becomes your motivating factor. Listen, I'm not comparing it, but I'm going to give you an example. I lost 4 MLS Cups. The first two I played in, I didn't do jack, you know what. And I sat down with my dad and I said, Dad, I feel defeated. You can win an MVP. You can do any of this, but you go to the biggest moments. You have to show up. You have to show up. I think you embrace it. And I think you just do the best you can, but if you embrace it, it becomes part of your vernacular every single day, and the energy and all of this. Listen, I thought Christian Pulisic was so good against Paraguay in the first 45 minutes, and I will always be asking a question. What happens if he doesn't get hurt? Because I think he was on one, right? But he got hurt. And then everyone else kind of, it's a hard one. I don't know. Listen, it's not his last World Cup, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys. This isn't a Pulisic thing. There's a lot of really good players on that team that did not play at all where they needed to play today. And all of them can look at each other, and that's where it's just, my bad. Yeah. This sucks.
Yeah.
But own it. Own it. I've always been a believer. Don't duck it. Don't duck it. Own it. Take responsibility, be accountable for what happened, but own it. And then sooner you get over it, the better off you're going to be, and you're going to reach newer heights. But I got to go get an ice cream sandwich with my kids. This sucks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Where do we meet you?
Okay. By your kids, you mean us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Guys,
I might be the only
here,
one ordering coffee flavored ice cream.
I'd kiss you on the cheeks. I'd buy you ice cream sandwiches with my 9 and 6-year-old here in Lake Tahoe.
I grew up without a father. Don't you tell me you're going to do that, not do that.
Okay. Taylor Dwellman, can you tussle my hair, please?
Yeah. You better read me a goddamn bedtime story.
Okay. Taylor Twelman, MLS on Apple TV.
Somehow you got me out of that funk, Taylor. Thank you
for joining us. You'll be with us throughout Yahoo Sports throughout the rest of the World Cup.
You guys are great. Truly, I don't want to let the defeat really bother you, but don't let it kill your spirit, because you two do things that very few of us can do in a moment with brevity, with comedy. But you also have an eye for the game. Both of you have an eye. Don't let anyone tell you you don't. So
thank you.
This sucks. I'm out.
Okay. Bye.
Love you,
take
bro.
Care, Taylor Twelman. Cheers, man.
Thank you. I get you're looking at it from a bird's eye view. Sure. But after that, I mean, I can't even. I feel like I'm talking to Dominican Jamiroquai. This is so fucking difficult.
The hat is here to cheer everybody up.
It's not doing a good job of it. It's okay. Frustrating me.
It's not working on Alexis, but the audience loves it.
Let's see, because I bet you the chat.
We got some tweets to look at real quick, and then we'll get to everybody's comments. Sopranos World says, criticizing Team USA even though I've never touched a soccer ball. That's the way to do it. Matt Freeze and his country need to the most. Aaron Judge.
That hurts twice. Team USA defense looks like the Jets.
That's not great.
Damn. Why is it all New York?
How Belgium did USA in the World Cup? Up. Let's go. We got the Chappelle Prince.
Blouse for skin.
Team USA goalkeeper in the. Yeah, I mean, this was bad, bro. I hate that it's the homie.
So accurate.
I hate that it's the homie, so Matt Freeze, man. It's just a terrible moment. Team USA defense in the first half. This is a classic meme. Gary Sheffield. Is that the real Gary Sheffield Jr.? I don't know.
I don't even know who that is.
The baseball player, right? Am I crazy? Yeah, anyway.
Infantino hasn't confirmed the results yet.
Yeah, we have to wait. Wait.
Hey, Baron, make another call.
Let's do a recount. Yeah. We need a recount for this guy.
It's not the coach. It's the talent. Okay, these are comments.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody on YouTube.
I want to say that, but, you know, the talent did pretty good up until this point, to the point where I didn't think we would be absolutely embarrassed by Belgium. And that to me is there's something. I mean, the coaching made the right adjustments, but the preparation for this game was not it.
Talent was there in the group stages.
That's what I'm saying. Enough that we shouldn't be embarrassed by. I could take losing to Belgium, losing like that.
Yeah. Even harder to take this loss with Christian wearing that.
See what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Hey, man. I mean, look, it's going to be difficult regardless. Bring back Diego Luna. Get him from Carl's Jr., bro.
Diego Luna would have bit somebody's neck.
2 years is not enough for Pochettino. But before bringing him in, some of the guys were, quote unquote, entitled. He changed that. But if he isn't resigning, then who? I mean,
do you think that loss is bad enough to resign?
Resigning.
Oh, okay.
Okay. U.S. soccer needs to be improving the quality of coaching for young players, emphasizing the ball handling that the team was lacking today. I mean, this is a thing we've talked about a lot. I mean, a lot of former players talk about this quite a bit. Eddie Johnson is always a name. Whenever people make this exact request and demand,
I always picture the video of Eddie Johnson yelling at a little rich kid in Florida.
But he trains these kids, and he talks about this this exact thing. He says like, you know, that the U.S. player doesn't focus on this enough. He teaches on the men's side, on the girls' side, men and women. I'm just saying that.
No, you're right. You're right. I just wonder if you finished, because I just had a really bad realization.
Which is?
That, and we should have had Jalen Brunson in the locker room. Which we'll go. Shouts to Major Money, who's always with us. You're one of the best. Remember when we started this podcast a long time ago?
Yes.
We talked a little bit about, multiple times we talked about it, but how the U.S. needed to get five-a-side cages because we weren't good with the ball at our feet in those small, tight pressure. We're still talking about this. 2026.
Right. But I mean, the only person trying to fix it is Kyle Martino, okay?
And Mondani,
bro. The 24/7 pitches.
Can even the coach? Can the U.S. men's national team force a one-time exemption to
But this is the thing. We could you know, make fun of these players, but they had good tournaments up until this
Ream
game.
Was great,
bro.
Up until this game, but this game is.
Hey, look.
This game was a final nail in the coffin for a lot of things.
Pete Morton said, because we, for some reason, insisted on playing out from Ream, and all
playing
he
out
did,
from the Ream is the a Ream really Ream weird way of playing. You were not wrong.
I didn't want to say it.
Playing out from
please
the Ream
do
is
not
crazy.
Clip that, right? and all he did was give Belgium time to set their defense. Then he either backpassed or booted it long. But Ream did the same thing in the previous games. He's a good passer with both feet. He was sending the ball to Balogun, sending the ball to Pulisic on runs. We didn't have any center backs that could do that. And that is why he's on the pitch. And as frustrating as it may be, and we've talked about this before, it is frustrating because he's an older player. Why aren't there people taking his position? But he is the only one that can do that at this point right now and do that consistently. But Belgium, and credit to Belgium, they picked on him and Anthony Robinson and said, hey, you know what? You're not going to win any long balls in aerial duels against our guys. Okay, go. Yeah, I'm glad you can laugh at that. He said he left for ice cream and never came back. Oh, are we talking about your dad? Let's go. Oh, meaning Taylor. Literally, Taylor left for ice cream.
With Jim, with my father.
So,
that's yeah, man. Just left. I wasn't laughing at you. I just noticed
no, I
someone referenced my father leaving my family.
All right. Well, who was the player of the game?
Who gives a shit? Charles de Catalan. I mean,
he was fantastic. Fantastic, and he got his two goals, but did a lot with very little.
Do you know how many goals he scored in the entire World Cup?
I believe one, right?
Two.
Okay.
These two.
He didn't score before. I think he scored one. No. Anyway, but look, I think that this says a lot about the lineup for Rudy Garcia, the coach for Belgium. As soon as I saw the lineup, I'm like, damn, no De Bruyne, no Doku. We're going to cook here in the midfield because they don't have their best players. And how wrong was that? I mean, they basically said, let's get a younger player in the midfield to clog up the midfield so we just have a little bit of pace because we know Kevin De Bruyne is not going to be running around. And it just absolutely worked flawlessly. I mean, there was almost no connection between Tillman, Adams, and McKennie.
No, they overloaded the midfield and gave us no passing lanes. And what's most frustrating is the boys couldn't figure it out on their own.
They could not.
It took until halftime and where a tactical shift could be made in order for that to be figured out. And I think that's when I talk about the nexus between where I thought we were was here, closer to, these European clubs that can make those decisions, those players that can make those decisions on their own. And that proved to me we just weren't there. Yeah. This was in an important moment. There's not one player during a foul or something that can go, hey, you go here, you go there, you go there, get me the ball this way. We don't have one player either doesn't feel empowered to do it or doesn't have the capability to do it. We don't have one player that could be like a field general that could just simply say, give me this, that, this. It was so frustrating because we could see the passing lanes. They didn't change what they did for 45 minutes. Nothing changed. And it was constant trying to figure it out without making adjustments. Everything that I said Mexico did wrong last night in the second half, we did in the first half. We were lacking creativity. We had no decision-making capabilities. We tried the same thing multiple times over and over again with nothing being different. And it didn't help. And that's what I mean by that's why I was so frustrated because I'm like, I really thought we were past this moment.
That's fair. I mean, I hoped we were past this moment, but because of the, I think that we got out, not just outclassed. I mean, I think even I thought Pochettino also got outclassed. I mean, this is we know
when he had the opportunity to make adjustments.
We know the lineup. We had the formation that worked best for us with the three at the back, and Belgium, they've watched all the tape. They know what we do. And the credit to them for making some big changes and saying, hey, you know what? This, I think, will neutralize this U.S. midfield. And we're going to put in, yes, they may not be the quote-unquote best players that we have, but this is going to cause problems for them because they're not going to expect this lineup. And it's like, from a it's not even about Pochettino not necessarily preparing the team properly, but it was like one trick pony and we got found out and the players were nervous. They were just not, they were scared. You could just, you feel it through the television.
I don't want to call it scared because scared to me is something else. They were not ready for the moment. The moment was too big for them. And when I think back to Pochettino's, the best I've seen a Pochettino-led team look was probably that Champions League run that Spurs were in when they got to the final against Liverpool. And what I see in those moments is they had players like Son and they had players like Kane that can make adjustments. They had players that were confident enough in their abilities, that were seasoned enough to say, like, okay, this isn't working. Plan A isn't working. You and I can figure out on the pitch what we need to do. There, you have players around you that can figure out slight adjustments to make. We had nobody doing that, and that to me was really the most frustrating because I thought we were at that point.
I get it.
Let's stock up, stock down. We should probably talk about that at some point.
Sure.
Our producer keeps saying it.
I'm saying that they were scared is not.
What I mean. I mean, to me,
it's not such a deep pejorative. I'm not saying it's negative.
I think they weren't ready for the moment more than
sure.
They were
we're kind of sort of saying the same thing, but
not really because I'm also kind of blaming Pochettino.
Sure. I'm just saying, but you could see the nerves you saw Alex Freeman try to make passes, lose the ball, little things like that just weren't happening.
Yeah, he looked shattered
in games before that, and we saw the Alex Freeman when he first got to the national team, where he like was kind of nervous to do anything with the ball. But this is Belgium said, you can have the ball. We're going to make sure that some of your players have the ball and they have to make some decisions. And they never got burned for that. And that's the frustrating. And you expect, they don't want Pulisic to have the ball. But when he does, you want some moment of brilliance. Another game where Pulisic doesn't take a shot. I've been critical of this tournament. You talk about a leader, somebody who can really make a difference. Today was Malik Tillman. That was like the only one that looked confident on the ball and confident with each pass that he made. And he wasn't worried when two defenders were on him.
No, he knows how to draw a foul in that moment too.
But it's frustrating that there aren't, on paper, we know who the leader should kind of be. And those players did not step up in that moment. And again, I mean, conceding a goal immediately after you score is, I still go back. I think that's the ref's fault. Pulisic, I believe, got fouled and he should have played advantage and he got fouled twice and they should have blown the whistle right there. And that second goal doesn't happen if that's the case. But that's all these little moments where they just couldn't get back. And then obviously Freeze giving up that goal is just, it's already a nightmare. Even before it gets to that point, but that was kind of the nail in the coffin. It just hurts everybody's confidence so deeply that it affects every touch you take. You see it in games all the time, whether it's a U9 game to a World Cup game. This is why
you're watching U9.
This is why the Trump thing is not, I'm not as easily dismissing it as Taylor was and as you were. There's no way that the players are not affected by this in some capacity. It's ridiculous. Now the entire world is talking about you and not about your play on the field. These guys are like 20 to Reem's 38 years old, but they're mostly really young. There's no way it doesn't affect them. How could it not affect them on the pitch even a little bit?
I think once the whistle blows, that's over.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of confidence. They're human. Yeah. Of course they're going
to
be
affected. Yeah, but they're used to people talking about them.
Not in that way. So, look, that's my opinion. I do think it's going to...
That's fair.
I'm not saying it's in some excuse. They should play
better.
I got
my stock down. You thinking this had something to do?
I think they would have been more psychologically prepared if Balogun didn't play. Like, if he got the red and it sucks and it's annoying and you felt like, hard done by it and you have every right to be mad. But I think psychologically they're in a stronger place because they're like, we're going to be playing for him. You saw how Reem and Pulisic and everybody was talking once he got the red. We want to make sure Balo has another game. And then the narrative changes immediately. It's like, it is weird psychologically, especially now Trump weighs in and it's insane. So, I'm going to live the rest of my life believing that just like game 3 of the Knicks in the finals, that Trump going there ruined that game and ruined it for the Knicks and they could have swept the Spurs. I'm going to say Trump ruined this game for these players, bro. It's ridiculous.
I agree with you that about the Knicks thing, but I do want to know, is there foil on the inside of that hat?
Okay, and this is why ProRel is going to fix everything, bro.
All right, let's get to stock up, stock down as much as... I really don't want to do these segments right now because I just want to keep complaining about this. I guess let's do stock down first, and then that way we can end on a positive. Stock down, if you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one, damn, bro, this is difficult. I'm going to have to say...
I'll go first in terms of thinking about it. Sergiño Dest.
Okay.
There was a lot of talk about whether he could sort of be trusted or was trusted by Pochettino, whether he was a Pochettino-style player. And that question seemed to go away the moment he gets the opportunity to start in the first one. I was kind of worried whether he would even be on the roster. How would he be used? Would he be started? When he starts, I think to myself, okay, maybe there was some type of acknowledgement that, oh, okay, he's a different player, or he will play in this position this way. Mm-hmm. I was more worried about the, you know, the red cards and the, his hot-headedness at moments. But what I thought we could go around was his lack of defensive prowess. You know, he's so good in the attack. Alex Freeman will be able to cover. And I just didn't expect that he would be exposed to the point that he was. Yeah. And it wasn't exposed because he was bad at what he was supposed to be or in the wrong position. He just let the game play out in front of him and wasn't involved.
He wasn't present.
He was watching the ball bounce. He was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. He was ball watching a lot of times. He was, to me, felt like he was letting players run past him, and he was like, "Oh, that's my guy." You know, there was something happened where he just didn't click into this game from the beginning, from the first whistle. And the fact that he came out at the half, I think, was really telling. And the fact that we played better since he came out.
I thought the moment, I mean, obviously when he's watching the ball on that first goal, in the box, really frustrating. Yeah. And it's just like,
and still doesn't cover anybody.
You can't do the like, "Oh, I thought you had," I mean, it's the World Cup. Like, yeah. Get it. Like, yeah. You should want the ball.
Yeah.
But the later in the game, later in that first half, when he was 1v1 against a defender and just ran right into him and just gave the ball away. Yeah. I'm like, it's one of those things. I'm like, who is this Serginho that we were not seeing this guy at the beginning of the tournament. It feels harsh. I'm going to say it's not necessarily that I think it's the most, the stock dropped the most, but I do think Matt Fries, it's one of those mistakes.
You saying this is very surprising.
Yeah, it's one of those mistakes that I think is, and I hope it doesn't end his, you know, another opportunity for, I don't think it's the end of a call up, but like, it's one of those mistakes that is like, all right, now we're not so sure you're really the number one. Like, and it's a terrible mistake to make. It's a terrible situation. And
I mean, you really weren't tested. Matt Fries wasn't really tested up until this point, and I would not say he passed the test.
Yeah, well, it is a, like, the moment in itself, and not to say that he can't recover from it or nothing like necessarily.
He
like
made
that.
A tremendous save at the beginning of the game.
Right, I mean, right.
You saw what makes him great, but in that moment, there's a couple questions that were left unanswered.
Yeah, and it just immediately puts into question the goalkeeping situation. And it's not to say, you know, Matt Turner also made some mistakes conceded a fair amount and made some mistakes
match.
In the Turkey match and in some of the friendlies. So it highlights the uncertainty of the goalkeeping situation for the U.S., which historically has really never been an issue some serious issue. It's always about, like, is it Brad Friedel? Is it Casey Keller?
We hung out with Nick Raimondo, who didn't really get much time in the men's national
right.
because the greatness in front of him, where he would be the number one right now without question.
Sure.
If you really think about it. So, yeah, I could see that.
So I feel bad. I mean, look, and Matt Fries is, you know, I'm we'll be transparent.
Was a friend.
He's the homie, and obviously the goalkeeper for NYCFC, and we're season ticket holders. And so you hate – there's a real, like, you hate – I know everybody, NYCFC fans feel terrible for him. But then it's also as, like, USMNT fans, who maybe you're not fans of NYCFC, may not have the same amount of sympathy. But I hope I do think it affects your stock, and now there's a lot more questions and concerns. But I do hope that he can recover from that, and I hope that it's a tough loss for everybody, but I know for him specifically, I really hope that he's okay.
I'm sure he will recover from it and be better, because he seems like a guy who can inspire himself. You want to quickly do a stock up?
Stock.
If we had to say just from the men's national team,
If stock up, I'm gonna have to say Malik Tillman. I mean, he got the goal, and I thought he played fantastically, and the confidence was there, and he was really the only one that seemed mentally prepared for this game. I mean, everybody else seemed like a little bit nervous. Everybody gave away the ball, some poor pass and stuff like that. But
I was gonna say, for me, I wanted to give a shout to the way Gio Reyna played coming in. Not easy to come in the half of a game like this. I want to see what his score was.
I think he did make a significant difference when he got in there.
Gave him a 6.98. Nice. But to me, he tried things and nobody was prepared for them. The lofted ball, ball to Balogun, couple of creative moves and passes that he was trying that no one around him seemed to be in the right headspace for. So I want to give him a shout, but I'm not going to make him my stock up. I'm going to make Sebastian Berhalter my stock up, and I apologize to production. I know you went and you you jumped in and you threw Jiren, and I guess I started talking about him. That's my fault. To me, there was something about when he came on where I'm like, why is this the only guy who seemingly cares right now? Everyone else was down in the dumps in a way, or sort of accepting defeat or not sure how to be there, be present in the moment, and he's the one trying to will you on. A guy who got lauded at the beginning of this tournament for being an MLS guy. Why was he on the roster? What is he going to give you? And if he's playing, then we don't have good players, blah, 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 if this is the guy. And I'm upset. I'm upset that even I thought that for a moment. And when I saw him come on, I said, he's doing everything he possibly can to will this team to be better and to provide better for the fans. And he was the only guy in that moment that I saw doing that. And I was shocked.
I mean, I was shocked. I thought he made an immediate difference.
Yeah.
We maintained some possession.
Great on corners.
We're a little bit dangerous. I wouldn't necessarily agree. Like he seemed like the only one who cared. I think it's from a psychological perspective, I think they just seemed nervous. I think the rest of the team just felt nervous. I don't know. And you can all think about why that is necessarily the case. But that's my thought. But yeah,
bro, created two chances in his time.
The shot that he took with the left foot outside the box. I'm like, yo, this is going
in.
Oh
man, if that would have gotten in, that would have changed everything.
Because we saw him. You know, he scored the one against was it Germany, I believe.
Yeah. We got some tweets and comments.
Take a look at some comments. We got a lot of people watching as well. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube.
They just want to see us in pain. The Belgium national team posted this after its win versus the United States. Overturn this is crazy.
I mean, that's how I can't even blame them, bro. This is how you that's how you do it, yo.
That's crazy.
You got this is how USA team USA looks pulling up to the round of 16. Hilarious.
I ain't gonna lie, I said that lady's losing an arm.
Christian Pulisic, when America needed him to dominate Europe. We got Sleepy Pulisic.
You know what's like? You know what's great about that? That's going to hurt Pulisic more than it's going to hurt anyone else.
This literally just happened to Team USA. This was the... Oh yeah.
Why is it always Johnny? Why, bro? Somebody give me a Lawrence Taylor high
cocaine. Ridiculous.
You'll just tear up Belgium.
Watch now. Where,
you know what sucks? We all know who he is.
Put the true social post already. It's probably some nonsense.
Please don't do that. Serginho, that's what Serginho does. Stock up, stock down. Tim Ream, player of the game for Belgium.
Like, you're going on. He's not the reason they lost, bro.
Let them get their jokes off. CONCACAF nations are just a few steps behind. Simple as that.
That is, I mean.
Yeah, man, but I really believed 90 minutes ago that wasn't the case anymore. I really did.
Tillman played well today. Thoroughly impressed by him. Agreed, man.
I do. I agree, man. He shined when no one else could.
Yeah.
This was the first game Ream was challenged, and he turned into MLS Ream. I got to be honest. You're not wrong.
The first four games, I'm like, yo, Fulham Ream is here, bro.
Yeah, dog.
Cape Verde took Argentina to the edge. Never underestimate your opponents. Man, there's a certain level of heart and faith and belief that you kind of need, and Cape Verde had it. Every airline should just tell every pregnant immigrant they're too far along to fly back home and send them to the nearest MLS academy to give birth. Bro, that's
why do they have to give birth at the academy? They're not going to do anything.
I go see my OBGYN.
Who's also the physio for New York City FC.
Okay.
It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to lose with dignity.
We asked for it. It's frustrating because there is no way we should have lost. I don't know about that. No way? Not even? You can't even use your imagination there?
His name is Baja Blast. I want to party. I want to hit a drive-thru with that guy.
Played worse than Canada and Mexico. Joke of a team and country. Yeah, you know what? Maybe country is fine, but
team
is doing all right.
Shout out to all the trolls who've joined the chat for this moment. I love that you care about U.S. soccer as much.
See? Because Major Mike been here since day one.
Yo. Okay. Get your money.
Not new here. And this is, I don't even know what language this is, but this is a text I'm unfamiliar with.
Vietnamese?
No, it's not. I think it's like Indonesian, maybe? I don't know.
Smoking Indonesian?
Retired Pulisic
and Matt Kenny.
Yeah.
Okay, there's apparently a Scottish guy on this team.
Matrix voice, not like this. Oh, that's right. Oh, man, that was great. And then she was unplugged. Matrix. All right. Not putting Christian Roldan in Seattle is a disgrace. He was injured, unfortunately. We needed 11 Roldans out there. That's how I would have got a victory.
Yeah. I want to shout out my dad. Wait, who was that?
That was your brother.
Was it? Oh, man. Well, you were raised by him. You know what it's like. whatchamacallit? We could take that off.
It's making Alexis more sad.
I feel like I'm the one wearing that hat. Can you put my ISO on for 1 second? Because there was a comment that actually inspired me a little bit. Okay. Talking about not letting immigrants fly to this country if they're pregnant. I have a request. If you are a serviceman and you are in another country, and it just so happens to be a European country that is good at football, you need to start banging, okay? You need to start banging. I'm going to ask you one more favor. Hey, buddy, don't pull out, okay? Do not pull out. Leave it in. You know what? Keep stroking. Finish a second time. We need to have, in 18 years, a lot more babies from Europe who didn't know their dad like me, who loved playing soccer because they had no dad to talk to, so they started to play in the streets. If we could get like just 100 more of you in a camp, I think we go win this World Cup. You are a serviceman. You need to get the thrust.
Got it.
Thrust hard.
Hey, okay.
Don't think about yourself. I don't care how tired you are, okay? I know you're out there defending our country. Think about the country you're defending. Because there's a war you can't fight with guns. That's called the World Cup. You can only fight it with what's in your balls.
It isn't when you said don't think about yourself. I think you were saying while you're thrusting. No.
Hey. Think about Christian Dad, if it helps you last longer.
Whatever it takes to develop the next Mbappe, okay?
We need you out there banging.
Okay. What a wild day,
this
man.
This is not the episode I thought we would be having.
Yeah,
man.
I thought it would be a...
Shout out my dad. Nico came in clutch there.
I thought it would be a little bit more, just a better news, even a better kind of story in defeat. And that was not the case today. This is just the team. The moment was too big.
Also, when you think about the whole thing, just the way that Balogun got brought back on the team and the fact that he started and the fact we still capitulated, to me, it's just we walk out of this embarrassed with our heads held low.
Yeah. I mean, also,
and we should have walked out of here with our heads held high, even in defeat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the chat. There's a lot of people. A lot of Belgian people weighing in, a lot of Belgian flags and stuff like that. So, look, I think it's, you know, this
congratulations
is,
to Belgium. Who do they play now? Spain.
They play Spain.
Well, that's the end of your road.
So I hope you had a good time at the World.
God, I hope you got a couple streamers who don't mind me popping in there with a few USA a little at the end of your run.
I hope you enjoyed La Copa Mundial. Uh-huh. It was lovely.
Look at you. You got an extra week in America.
But we can have fun with it. This is part of the game, man. We've done this for a long time, and this is these are the experience. We're used to the U.S. losing; it happens, all right. But Belgium has lost quite a few as well. But like Alexis and I may not agree on sort of where we are now and how where our optimism is or whatever. I like where we're headed. I'm not in any state of like, oh man, this is absolute chaos. I think the U.S., especially hosting this tournament, we're seeing little stories of a bit of the inspiration. We're seeing fans from this country being like, you know, watching soccer for the first time, and the way 94 kind of changed everything for the future of soccer and where we are now and stuff like that. I think we're going to get a couple moments like that. I think there was a few really inspiring games, and I don't want to take away from those moments. I mean, we're hosting these watch parties around the country. We've hosted for a bunch of the U.S. games. We were in Seattle for the second game. That was the game against Australia, and those were good moments, and we played well against teams that were afraid to play us. And I just don't want to take away of that. I don't want to take anything away from that. But if we think about the 2030 World Cup, and we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, like, because U.S. soccer did offer Pochettino the job until 2030. I'm kind of not going to change my perspective. I would be fine if he did not resign. And Taylor was kind of hinting at it, that it doesn't seem like he would, because this doesn't seem like the type of job he would want. But I would love to see Pochettino prepare a team through these World Cup qualifiers and playing against really in difficult situations. How does he handle playing in Honduras and Guatemala and Panama? That would be interesting if he did do that. Okay, Ben Jacobs.
Mauricio Pochettino on his future. It's now about resting a little, thinking, and then having some conversations. And then we'll see what the decision is from the Federation and from us. I am so happy we have built a good relationship, but now is not the time to talk about that.
I don't think he's coming back.
That doesn't feel like I'm staying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's being polite and saying the kind of just saying the right things. But here's
the truth. I feel like if you ask me to grade, and we're seeing his win loss record, which, you know, again, you know, it's a little bit convoluted because of the friendlies where, you know, he was really going for small agendas and not results, but, Sergio's men's national team to a round of 32, round of 16, right?
Well, we just lost
in the round of 16. But that's fine. When I think about the job that he did, I'm impressed with what he was able to do in a short amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed with what Mauricio Pochettino was able to instill in the players that needed that instilled. And there was some talk in the chat. We just had it up about, like, some players felt entitled, and that's not necessarily the way they feel right now. And I feel like he's left the federation and the program, if you will, the men's national team program, in a better place than when he left it. But then I start to wonder who's the person that could take that ball and carry it to the next step. And I don't believe the same as I believed before Mauricio Pochettino was hired, which was that could be like a Wilfred Nancy or one of these other players. I think it needs to be another coach that's of this level. You know, and I've often said I've often repeated the stat that no foreign manager has ever won the World Cup. I don't think we're at the point where we should be hiring coaches that can win the World Cup, so to speak. I think we need to be hiring a coach that can get us to the next rung. I do believe we climbed a rung under Mauricio Pochettino. I don't think we're as far as I hoped we were before this game started. And now I think who's the manager that gets us to that next level? And unfortunately, it still comes down to we probably need a European or a South American tactician, someone who can immediately cut the you know what I mean? And I don't care if you don't. If you're a diva player from a European a club, you come in here, you got to fight for your spot. Hey, I'm not going to take any crap from anybody, but also can get the X's and O's to where they need to be to get us past where we got out today.
We were at the Brazil-Norway game. They have Carlo Ancelotti. You can get
that's not a tactician.
I'm just saying, but you can get the big. I mean, he's won quite a bit, right? And
sure,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from him. We're not the country that needs him.
A tactician.
We're not a country that has like a bunch of superstar players that don't know.
But
how to
a
play
national
together.
Team tactician is like kind of useless. How much they don't have any time to implement anything. They need to. The players just need to be good, and they kind of have to have a foundation, a little template style formation. Everybody, you know, is on the same page.
I'm going to wholeheartedly disagree with you.
I do not.
I don't think Spain goes on the Euros, World Cup, Euros run if it wasn't for tacticians. Incredible players, but you need to be able to put them together. They won with a 4-6-0 formation. That comes down to tactics and also getting the mentality of the player to make decisions within the game.
That's easy.
And that's what we did not do today.
That's easy when 9 of the players play at Barcelona and Real Madrid or whatever. They don't not at this one. It's easier to implement these ideas when the country is literally all on the same page. This is like, I don't want to.
What about Japan? Japan plays, doesn't have superstar players. They play as a team. We look like we could against Paraguay, and then we go up against Belgium, who's not even that good. All of you in the chat putting Belgium flags, which, by the way, most of us didn't even know was Belgium flags. This is America.
Don't do that.
Most of us had no idea.
I knew.
I'm like, who's all these Romanians in our chat?
I definitely knew.
I'm only kidding. Obviously, we knew. Guy with the hat, this is a comedy show. What should we call it? Japan look like they play a solid style. They have a tactic that's their own. They have a defined style. The U.S. still doesn't have a defined style. When, what was it, ESPN or somebody did all the research of going back and watching all the U.S. men's national team games, and they came back with our style was heart. That we sit back defensively, we never give up, and we take it to that's crap. We need to define. We need to come up with a definitive style that fits the athleticism that we have as a nation. We need to figure out how we get our tactics beyond the point where we have players that are like Alex Freeman, who is obviously very good, but in this moment becomes scared. How do we get these players either into Europe sooner or better training in the U.S.? How do we get a coach that can audit the system we have now and say, here's what's missing, where U.S. soccer is actually going to listen to them and not just function as a business, but function as a business or a 501c3 that not just is there to make money, but is there to usher this the soccer playing players and the programs for both men and women into the next generation, continuously adapting and continuously advancing. How do we get a coach that is willing to put the spotlight back on all of them, all the coaches that are pay for play and all the coaches that are taking money just to sign the fastest, tallest kid who happen to be growing at a faster rate than all the other 14-year-olds? How do we get all of them to sign up for the academy and say, you know what? We actually need to follow the rules. We need to build players that are good with the ball at their feet, that are good when they're in position, they're in areas outside of the travel team in Tuscaloosa or the PDA Academy for the girls in Jersey that we watched with our own eyes as a bunch of younger, shorter, not as fast, not as athletic girls from Barcelona absolutely embarrassed them on the pitch. And they were teenagers, so we didn't make a big deal of it. But we watched that, and we said, oh, wow, things are starting to change. The U.S. can't just muscle teams out of the way anymore. And we saw it play out on the senior team. These things only take 5 or 6 years before the teenagers are the players that we're seeing on the senior teams. How do we get these kids that are right now 13, 14, 15 years old and are saying, I could do better than that? This is inspiring me to want to be even trained even harder. How do we get them the right training so that when they turn 17, like Taylor said, they're prepared for this moment? A coach of the U.S. men's national team needs to come in. They need to be alpha enough, and alpha is a terrible term, but you get what I'm saying. They need to be respected enough, seasoned enough. Maybe it is like a Patrick Vieira that could come in and go, this isn't good enough. Here's where you're missing.
Yeah. So where I fundamentally disagree is that you think this happens from the top down, which is like a coach. No coach is going to do this. And this is where Alexi Lalas has terrible ideas and says a lot of awful things, a bunch of things I do not agree with. But the one thing he talks about this all the time, he says that the country is too big and there's too many ideologies. But you're saying that's the problem.
I'm not saying that part. I don't agree that the country is too big.
Okay, but they're saying that there's too many soccer ideologies, too many hands in the pot of trying to decide what direction the sort of programs should go. It's a unique problem to a country with lots and lots of people and lots of people involved in soccer. We had candidates that were running for U.S. soccer president. We were friends. We could text Cal Martino. He could answer so many of these questions for you. There's so many people. Remember when the U.S. soccer vote for president and all the voters, we were trying to understand, who votes? And it's youth soccer, and the people that are involved in all the different districts, they have a lot of influence, and they don't want the bag being ruined because they make a lot of money from youth soccer. They make money from parents. I have a 3-year-old who is starting to play soccer, and I'm already kind of feeling it. Where the not in, you know, this is my experience. It's like they're already talking to me about like, oh, you know, your 3-year-old needs to work on blah blah blah. Yeah, and
he needs to go to soccer practice plus. Yeah, it's a subscription model.
And it's like I understand there's at this age especially, I understand go make your money, do what you got to do. And it's like, but then it's like, don't take away any fun in it, or don't make me think that my son has a real shot. I mean, like, I just want the kid to be kicking the ball and giggling a little bit. That's literally the only focus. But you already kind of...
Is that all you want?
That, yeah.
Well, then can I introduce you to the Alexis Guerrero Academy? I will sit there and watch TV, and he could do whatever the hell he wants.
So it's a deeper problem. But we have every World Cup, we have this exact conversation over and mm-hmm. over and over. And again, I think the culture of this sport, one, more people need to be playing it. And there needs to be a serious promotion relegation, a serious culture of fear of dropping down, and you will develop better players. Because the Stu Holden, I think, mentioned in during the game about like players being nervous and the moment being too big. And it's like the players on Belgium are playing regularly in Champions League, are playing in big moments where they have every right to be nervous, but they've experienced it already. By the time they get to the World Cup, they're like, okay, I've kind of been through this. Now,
most of the players on the U.S. men's national team, though, are playing in promotion and relegation systems.
I know that. I'm just saying. But again, you're talking about building players. The 13-year-old is not playing for some academy that's worried about being relegated. You know what I mean? They're not playing. So I'm just saying, like, and this is not me, you know, tinfoil hat. I'm wearing a silly hat, but it's not about saying like MLS needs to change this tomorrow. But let's be for real. Like, you need something that causes like pressure makes diamonds. If you instill a system like that, if a pro rel system is in place, you're gonna make a couple diamonds. Yes, owners will lose money, of course. But the other result is you're going to produce some incredible players that have been through it all. And then they get to a World Cup and they're like, okay, I've been through this because St. Louis City, we almost got relegated or whatever. Like, that's a real aspect of the game that I think American players are kind of missing to a degree.
By the other domino that falls, if there is promotion and relegation, is that other secondary cities, other smaller markets will start a team knowing they can go from the bottom to the top.
Right.
And you're going to get more academies finding more players. So I think I think the overall effect of that would be good. But I think there's a way to start that right now before we get to the point where we have a majority of owners of the MLS that decide they want to institute it, which I think we're very far away from.
I agree. We got a couple comments.
A couple more tweets. Why don't we go to those? Let's see what the internet is saying. Are you having fun, Belgians, in our chat? USA Soccer, when it's time to play a real football club.
Is that the dude from Howard Stern?
Is that Chet Holmgren?
That's Chet Holmgren. These are the Spurs. That's De'Aaron Fox.
No, isn't that the kid from Drake and Josh? Number 10?
Number 10, maybe. I don't know.
And that's Beetlejuice.
That's Beetlejuice from Howard. What a pull. All right.
What? Okay, we're wasting
the
water.
The Bermuda Triangle. I mean, it stinks.
Is that the real score?
I think so. Yeah, Freeze was the worst rated. How bad is Team USA's defense? And we're looking at the Yankees.
Oh, my God.
A lot of baseball references today.
I mean, it's like you guys, it's like production knows I'm right here. Can we get one Mets for this guy?
Pulisic this World
Damn, Tony Snell.
Oh, my goodness.
Tim chasing the Belgian attackers.
Dude.
Is he wearing slides?
That's versus Belgium today. This is, what's that? Who's that, Pogba?
He just sticks his foot out. You
ever
seen
that? Yeah, I've seen this. is this speed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There it is. That's kind of what happened in that one play, bro.
First of all, love that tracksuit.
U.S. For real, dog. please, no Dolo. Turundolo? Oh, Turundolo.
That's a good point.
As the coach. Interesting.
Hey, he's tactically probably one of the better American coaches. We need to get that American in La Liga to coach the national team.
Oh, Matarazzo. Pellegrino Matarazzo. That's been a name. Okay.
What a great name. Pellegrino Matarazzo.
We need that to get that German kid to put on the shirt to join the back line. Chris Richards and Alex Freeman are solid back there. What German kid? Which one?
That German kid.
Noah
Kaya Banks?
Noah Kaya Banks, yeah. Alexa, play Country Roads.
Please don't. Maybe that ends that, huh?
At least we don't have to.
Pop Smoke, Welcome to the Party should be the thing that everything.
Hire Ted Lasso. Let's go. After Mom Donnie
is done restoring New York City to glory, he needs to run U.S. Soccer. Might not be a bad shout.
Okay.
We shouldn't be. Also, shouldn't we be kind of happy the U.S. made it to the 16? Like, in my right mind, I wouldn't expect us to be Belgium or most of the top 16.
That's
teams
what I'm saying.
All we really needed was to. If we lost this game after, like, a late match go-ahead goal by Lukaku or something crazy like that, you walk out of there with your head held high.
Yeah.
That is not what happened.
It was the performance, I mean, is really what
we were embarrassed for terrible, 90 yeah. minutes.
Brother, someone take away Sergio's passport.
Someone give him one of those fake Paraguayan passports.
Be
like
careful,
Ronaldinho
bro.
Had.
Marco Rubio is going to do that.
Watch the game on Japanese TV. They turn that is off immediately after the whistle.
Okay. That's yeah. hilarious.
World Cup is featuring those RSL Rebel and Philly Union kids dominating the squad if their careers stay on track. Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, I would not be upset.
Julian Hall might end up getting
a
call.
Yeah, I would not be upset if a bunch of kids developed in the U.S. were the ones that moved to Europe and proved it on the highest levels, and they're starting
in the Sullivan club. Going to Man City. Let's see what ends up happening there. Belgium seems to want more
look
tag.
At the name.
Donaldo Trumpo.
He's just hit with a mustache.
I mean, this is the embarrassing part.
You have a sign on this, for your exit.
We would have gotten like some proper banter, like fine banter before Trump got involved. This is the embarrassing part of it.
Yeah.
So this is like,
and not the hat.
No, not the hat.
Okay,
the hat is fine.
I'm just verifying.
Okay, what else we got? Is that it? Or maybe I don't know if there's any more. Okay. All right. That is it, everybody.
What more can we say?
I mean, it is 11:18 Eastern time. We are wrapping up here. Shout out to all I think at some point on YouTube, there were like, I think 800 people watching, maybe 1,000. We got a lot of folks. But thank you so much for hanging out.
Yeah, if you're watching, even if you're hate watching, thank you for sticking around
free.
With us.
You can say you hate us in the chat, bro.
Yeah, dude. Like, imagine this is the time my father signed on.
Like,
and Nico likes it.
He's like, now's my time.
He's like, I've been waiting in the wings.
So
I thought I told you when I left your family.
But that's what we do here. We try to bring some laughs to some miserable times when it comes to U.S. soccer. We've experienced it plenty of times, but I appreciated the kind words from Taylor Twellman because I think sometimes even finding our space in this community for some there's you if you want the trolls to scream and do and be negative. You got plenty of that.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't many people that are trying to find some positive light in moments like this, and we try our best. So thank you so much for hanging out with us. It means a lot. We don't forget, you see it on the bottom there, Cooligans Daily Live. We are live Monday through Fridays throughout this World Cup. The show goes on, whether the USMNT are in it or not. We're still going to be traveling to a bunch of different cities, so you'll see us all over the place. Still have a bunch of great guests coming on the show, so be on the lookout for that.
If you live in Boston, we're near Boston, and what's the other city?
Dallas.
Or if you live in or around Dallas, and maybe you don't have a place to watch a game. Stay tuned to our Instagram.
Exactly. So make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans.
Air conditioning, free food.
I'm sure we have a lot of new folks in here. So hit the like button and subscribe right now. Why are you? What are you doing?
We're still going to be doing this.
Even without
our U.S. men's national team shirts, we're still going to be doing this.
So
we will be here for the entire.
But the hat's
World Cup.
Not going anywhere. Bro.
I will burn that hat. It's not looking.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
So hit like right now if you're watching on YouTube, and make sure you subscribe.
Hit the bell. Hit the bell. And by the way, if you're watching on your phone, send us a hype.
Yeah.
Apparently YouTube really likes this thing. So send us hype.
At Soccer Cooligans. You can follow us on all socials as well. All right, everybody. Have a good night. Have a good day. If you're watching in Japan, because somebody was watching on Japanese TV.
Yeah.
Somebody said they're watching on Japanese TV. I guess they're in Japan. I don't know.
Maybe.
Unless
maybe they're just Japanese branded TV.
Are you looking for the Japanese channel to watch the game? Which is an interesting choice.
How are you watching us on a Japanese TV? So, thank you for everybody who watched and hung out with us. This wasn't the most positive and the funnest episode we've ever done, but hopefully we added a little bit of insight and you got to hang out with us and we've had an absolute blast. So thank you. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already, and if you have, tell like 35 of your friends that this was a fun hangout. That'd be great.
Y'all the best. Thank you so much. We love the Cooligans community. See you when tomorrow we're back to tomorrow.
Oh man, it never ends.
Cheers, everybody.